given us and allowed us to understand. God is good. Amen? We may not understand all the things and all the stuff that He does, but one thing I can let you know is that God is good, that He loves you, and that He wants to grow you, and He wants to lead you into His righteousness. He loves you so much that He's prepared a kingdom for you, or He's prepared a kingdom, and you're invited to go to it. You're invited to be a part of that kingdom. And as I said, this next 50-some-odd weeks, as the Lord allows me to preach, we will be teaching on the kingdom of God, what it is, who it's about, what it's for, and how you can be a part of it. Amen? Anybody want to be a part of the kingdom of the Most High God? Amen. You know that there's a way to do that, that there's an instruction to there, and it comes first and foremost with your personal salvation. Do you know the Lord God? Do you know Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Whether you know Him that way or not, He is that way. That is who He is. And you may not know Him that way, but maybe by the grace of God, you'll hear something today, and the Holy Spirit will touch your heart in such a way that you'll say, I want that more than I want this. I want what's promised for me more than what I see. Because what I see, there's not much hope in. Oh, but in the kingdom, there's great hope. Amen? In the kingdom, there's life. In the kingdom, there is blessings. Oh, and you can go there. You can be part of that kingdom with Him and for Him. And knowing these things about the kingdom, let me go to the Lord real quick and just ask His blessing over the words that were written in the scripture we'll be seeking out today. Father, I thank You so much for Your very presence here inside of this body. Father, I pray that we as a people group would be desiring to be united with You in a oneness of body and spirit. Father, through the preaching of Your word and the worship of Your name and of who You are, Lord, I pray that You would bring us into that singleness and unity that You have prepared for Your people. Now, Lord, I thank You for that. Father, I thank You that You gave us the promise that this is not all that we see, that we have a kingdom that's yet future, but we can live in the blessings of the kingdom in the here and now. And Lord, I pray that as I open these words, I pray, Lord, that I would decrease and that You would increase. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would move across this body of believers here and You would touch hearts and open understandings, Lord God, and that we would walk into the newness of life that You have promised for us. We thank You for those things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
The kingdom of God, and this is just another teaching, that's why I entitle it Another Teaching of the Kingdom of God. You might have that same title for the next 50 weeks, okay? Because it's just another teaching about the same kingdom. I believe if I started teaching, and everybody who has ever been a pastor, everybody who's ever read anything in the Word of God, started teaching about the kingdom of God, and everybody did it, we would not get through it until the kingdom came. Amen? There's more to it than what we can wrap our hearts and minds around. But we'll start with little bits at a time. You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Personally, I don't suggest that you eat elephants. But if you did, you take it one bite at a time. You know, and you go through a little bit. You digest what you can. And so here we are. The kingdom of God. There's a spiritual state, and it's ruling and reigning inside of a physical world. There's a spiritual statehood, but it's right here, right now, in the physical. You know that the kingdom of God is there and here? You know that there is a real physical, there's a real kingdom that Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare for you a place. And if I go to prepare for you a place, I'm going to come again and call you that you might be in that with me. Mm-hmm. That space, that space and time. And that's yet future, but He's building it now. Right. Amen? He's building it since the time that He was crucified on the cross. Actually, God's been building that kingdom since long before that. Because before the foundations of the world, God saw the cross. Amen? Before the foundations of the world, God saw that man would need a Savior for their sin. And not the sins, not the individuals, but the root cause of all of the sins, plural, is a singular thing called sin. There's a 100 different types of cancers, but the root of cancer is an infection in the body that explodes, right? It's It's not the cancers you have. It's the cancer that is in us. There's a sin that is in us, and there's a spiritual cure for the physical ailment that we have. And this is why it's so difficult for those to see the spiritual world, because we're still caught in the physical realms. That's why the Bible says, without faith you cannot please God. You've got to have faith that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do you know that God wants to reward you? He wants to reward you with His grace, with His mercy, with His comfort, with His love, and with the knowledge of the Most High God. What a reward. And you can start getting those rewards right now. Right now, today. If you will seek Him, if you will draw near to God, He will draw near to you. If you will seek Him with the fullness of your heart and your mind, and prepare that even right now before you've heard much of anything about the kingdom, if you will prepare in your heart right now that you want it. Now I'm going to ask you, do you want it? Praise God. Do you want, praise God, do you want it? Now, when you get to heaven, everybody's going to be shouting, right? In fact, the angels are glorifying Him right now in a very loud way. They're not sitting in their pews, their hands in their pockets. Praise God. Yay, Jesus. You know? There's an excitement in heaven right now. There's something going on there right now that when the angels are glorifying Him, the doorposts of the temple are shaking. Okay, I'm going to ask you again. All right? I want you to get a little excited. All right? I want you to at least act like you're excited until it happens. Amen? Do you want to be a part of the kingdom of God?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Wake up, people. It's Sunday morning. Monday's on the way. Okay, so there's a spiritual state, and it's a ruling in the physical world. And that's why it's so difficult for us, the people in the physical, to see this, because it's spiritually understood. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and this isn't where we're teaching today. This is something that Jesus was saying about God the Father. The woman said, was talking to Him about, our people worship over here in this spot at Jacob's well. But your people, the Hebrew folks, they say only in Jerusalem can you worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, if you know whom you were speaking to, you would ask Me for a drink of water, and I would put in you a fountain of water that flows up to eternal life. And He said, listen, I want you to know that there's coming a day, and the day is right now. It's right now. It's beginning right now, that people will not worship on this mountain or in that mountain. But they're looking. They will worship in spirit and in truth. Why? Because that's what the Father is looking for. He's looking for human beings to worship Him spiritually while they're in this physical world, to worship Him, to worship the kingdom, to know that it's a real, tangible thing right now, and that it's available for you, and you worship Him because of who He is and what He has for you. Amen? Do you want some of it? Amen. Do you want it?
Yeah.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Do you want the kingdom of God in you, on you, illuminating you, that you can have a hope that goes way beyond understanding? Because I tell you, in this physical realm that I'm in my body, I do not completely understand it. In fact, I take it by faith, because I have not seen the kingdom of God. But He said there is one. In fact, Jesus told His disciples, every time He sent His disciples out, and what I looked at when Jesus sat down and He taught people, He always taught them about the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. That there is a place where you're living right now that's full of hurt and hate and wars and nastiness and ugliness. Oh, but there's another place, there's a kingdom that God has, and it's set apart for goodness and peace and wonders and no hurts, no pains, no cancers, no death, no mourning anymore. Do you want it?
Amen.
Oh, I want it.
Amen.
I want the promise to come true in my life. I want it so badly. I want it so badly that anything that might trip me up here in this realm to keep me from getting to the other realm, I'm willing to kill it. Whatever it is. If I'm a drunk, I'm willing to give the alcohol away. I would rather have Jesus than alcohol. If I'm addicted to sex or sexual perversion is in my mind, I want to kill that I might gain the kingdom. right? If my wealth and my stature in life is the thing that's keeping me from getting closer to the kingdom, I would rather be a pauper, a poor bum on this planet to have the glories of the kingdom of God than all the riches this world can afford. Amen? What would it gain in a man if he was to gain this whole world and still lose his soul? What profit is there in that? Are you willing to worship him in spirit and in the truth, the reality? This spiritual realm and this physical realm, the visible, the spiritual, is something we cannot see, but the physical realm is something that's very visible. In the physical, what we normally are run by as human beings right now are the five senses that we have. Your taste, your touch, your hearing, your sight, and your smell. Right? That's normally what, when you think of something that is real, you say, it's real because I can touch it. I can feel it. It's real because I can smell it. I can't really see it, but I can smell it. Too many eggs. You know, or whatever I can't see it, but I can hear it. So I know it's real. There's something out there in the woods. I don't know what it is. I heard the tree snap. I know that there's something out there. And so in our physical world, there's things that clue us in that something's actually happening. Have you ever been fooled by any and all of those? I have. I have smelt some stuff. Man, that must be wonderful. Vanilla extract is one of those. All right? Or dark chocolate, you know, the dry powder stuff that my wife bakes with. Oh, that smells so good. Get you a spoonful of it. Might smell good, it don't taste good. That vanilla extract, boy, doesn't that smell nice? Take a little dab of that behind your ears. Boy, you smell like a baker. That smells so good. Get you a swig of it. It don't taste nearly what it smells. I've been fooled by that. I've been fooled by my emotions. Right? I've been thinking that my emotions were real. What I'm experiencing, this, it hurts so bad. Wah, poor, poor, pitiful me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms, right? Because it's all about me, right? And all my emotions surround me. Well, how often is that real? Because I'm mad one day and I'm happy the next. Right? I
love tambourine music. Ooh, I love tambourine music.
Until you hear tambourine being played incorrectly, right? Then it's not so great. I love guitar playing. I love to play the guitar until I strum the wrong chord. Right? All of a sudden, it doesn't sound so nice anymore. There are some things that I think that I know in the physical that really is not real. Have you ever heard somebody say something like, oh, I can sing, right? Until you hear them sing. It's called a joyful noise, right? It's a joyful noise. And that's okay. If you're praising the Lord, it doesn't matter. The notes that you're pulling out of your body, that does not matter. You just glorify God with all that you have in you. Sing loud and proud, baby. That's why I tell folks to sing like you're in the shower. Right? Don't care about how it sounds, just sing. But sometimes they go on TV or trying to think of that show. Say it again.
America's Got Talent.
Or they think they do. Yeah, America Has Talent or American Idol, something like that. And I mean, I haven't had cable for years. The last time I saw it, Korean guy, that numb. Some numb chuck guy or whatever. I forget what it was. But anyhow, he was singing about pistachio nuts or something. And anyhow, but that's the last time I saw that show, let you know how far back that was. But he thought he could sing. He did. He thought that he was just a cat's meow, but in reality, he truly could not. He made a lot of money because a lot of people are stupid, right? They spend money on stuff that don't matter. Well, that's the physical kingdom, all right? That's the physical world that we've been surrounded by. I've been fooled by the physical a lot, okay? One thing that never fools me or never leads me astray is the things that God said. The spiritual side of stuff, that's the real things. There's a real spiritual kingdom. There's a kingdom that I cannot see right now, but I know it's real. I know that it's true. In fact, Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 6, and you can turn your Bibles there if you want to for a little while. And all of chapter 6 is speaking to this element of not really, well, actually 24 following. And Jesus in chapter 6, verse 24, he tells us, be careful which master we're serving. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and he'll love the other, or else he will hold to one and he would despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, take no thought for your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Then he talks about the fowls of the air, how they don't plant gardens, but they still got plenty to eat. They don't put stuff in barns, but they're always fed. I'm paraphrasing here to get towards the meat of it. And he goes on, he talks about Solomon and how he's arrayed, how the lilies of the valley are more beautiful than all the garments he can have, right? And the things of this world, how he was clothed. And don't worry about those things. In verse 31, he says, and verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, or the lost, the people who don't know the Lord, they're seeking those things. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of, all of these things. And 33, and here's what it is talking about. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to, unto you. Take therefore no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow, or the morrow, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All right, now, he's talking about the physical world, right? How many here get all tied up in what I'm wearing today? You know I don't, but there's a lot of folks that do. They're all into, what's one of those fashion magazines? Or, most of y'all are on Facebook. You know why you're on Facebook? Because you're way too concerned about you. Amen? You're concerned about the things that are going on. How many folks take selfies? All right, a selfie, in fact, even in the name selfie, what's it talking about? Yourself, right? Talking about yourself, your physical stuff. I've seen them, and I'm not on Facebook. I'm not. I was on it for a little while, and it consumed like horrible amounts of my day. Horrible amounts. I wasn't on it that much, but still, it was sucking up my life. So I said this year, I'm turning it off for a year, and by the grace of God, I'll never turn it back on, because Facebook is a toilet sucking your life away, right? That's all it is, all right? And people, I really don't care about what you eat, so don't take pictures and post it, right? And all those things don't matter. And Jesus talking here, they're all concerned about your raiment, how you look, what you look. How many here are really concerned or know somebody that's really concerned about what they wear? You are, because you wear a suit all the time, I know. my shoes, I got to have the best basketball shoes. Why? Do are they any worse than the regular $35 Converse? They used to be. Actually, I remember buying Converses for $10. Y'all remember that? The black ones come up here, black and white. Those were the two colors. They're a little bit more expensive today, but we wore those. Actually, I wore hand-me-down combat boots most of my life. Folks were in the military, so I've never been really concerned, but I know some folks who have to have the latest and greatest pants, the Calvin Kleins, or they got to have a certain patch on their butt. Nowadays, ladies like to wear things that are called pink, and they ain't even pink. I am not a fool, baby. That is not pink, that's blue. All right, you want to wear a color, call it what it is. That's blue, that ain't pink. Anyhow, there's those things. I got to be stylish. I got to be so concerned about the way my hair looks. By the way, those people that go to those surgeons and have their bodies twisted out of shape, right? I'm not happy with what God gave me, so I'm going to have them pump it full of silicone. I'm going to change it. I'm going to have them stick needles in my face, and I'm going to have them stick it through somebody else's fat, put in my body to puff it up in different places. Have you ever thought of that? That's what that stuff is, that collagen. I'm taking juice out of somebody else's body, I'm going to stick it in your body and make your eye puff up. Why? Because I don't like what God did with his face. This is not a pretty face before you. I mean, it really ain't. I wash it. I brush its teeth. I make sure there's no things hanging out that it doesn't need to be hanging out. I trim the hairs off of it where it needs to be, right? But I'm not overly concerned with this face for you. Why? Because I know that there's a realm that this face won't ever have to look as bad as it looks someday. I know that there's a realm, a kingdom of God. See, and if I start seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all these things that consume our time, all these things that consume our money, all these things that consume our heart will be put out of the way. Why? Because I'm looking for the kingdom that's coming, not the kingdom that is. I'm looking for the spiritual kingdom, not so much the physical kingdom. I love the Psalms. I get wrapped up in the Psalms. Psalm 145, and we'll start reading in verse 8. So open your Bible, flip it over there, and when you get there, say, because I don't want you to get lost here. All right, because God is going to be talking about what this kingdom, the realness of the kingdom of God, what it's going to be like. Are you happy about getting there? Psalm 145, verse 8. I'm going to add some to this. In the kingdom, all right, in the kingdom, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. He's tender. His tender mercies are over all of his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O God, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Oh, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raise up all those that bow down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou gavest them their meat in due season. Thou open thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Oh, the Lord is nigh unto all of them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth has spoken the praises of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. Amen. Now think of this in the kingdom of God, because he mentions it several times. The Lord is glorious, right? Do we actually see the glory of the Lord right here on this earth? And the heavens declare, all right, but right now, the things that I see that I think are glorious, are they glorious compared to the kingdom? No. All right, the Grand Canyon, glorious. Smoky Mountains, glorious. Rocky Mountains, glorious. I've been to the Alps, oh, glorious. But how about the things in the kingdom? Do they compare? Not at all. Oh, the Lord, he is glorious. He's full of compassion. I experienced some compassion from you guys. And y'all experienced my compassion. But is that compared to the compassion of God? All right, now when you're in the very presence of the Most High God in the kingdom of the Most High God, how much compassion do you think you're going to need? Or you're going to be experiencing? God has better things planned for you than what you have planned for yourself right here on the earth. All right, his kingdom. Are you talking about his kingdom? In verse 10, and all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and walk and talk of thy power. Whose power are we supposed to be talking about? His power. Whose glory are we supposed to be talking about? His glory, not your selfies. Not your Facebook post. Not the things that you get caught up in. Not my latest and greatest style. Not my fancy truck. Not my fancy tractor. All these idols of this earth are supposed to not be the king of our life. We need to be focused on the kingdom of the Most High God. When you die, how much of this manure are you going to carry with you? None. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure you're not going to have a U-Haul hauling right behind the hearse? Do you think God needs you to help him furnish the kingdom? right? When you get there, he's preparing you a place, right? The only thing we need to bring is other folks that we've told about Jesus Christ, right? That's what we bring with us to the kingdom. Everything else stays here. Tells me in the Word of God that naked I was born. Guess what? Every one of y'all was born stark naked. And you came into this world with how much? Nothing. When you leave, what are you going to leave with? Nothing. You'll leave stark naked. They might have you in the box all dressed, but when you leave, when your spirit leaves your body, it doesn't take your clothes with you. Right? When you leave this realm, when you leave this physical world right here, you ain't bringing nothing with you except what you came with. That is the image of the Most High God, the Spirit of God that He breathed into you in the very beginning with Adam. When He scooped up the dirt and He breathed into that dirt, that dirt ball, and made him a living soul. That's the only thing that you bring with you. Everything else stays here. So why do we get so wrapped up in the garbage of this world? A little politics. I ain't going to stay here for long, okay? If Trump wins, and I hope that he does, but if he wins this next election, will it make a difference in the kingdom of heaven?
No.
If he loses this next election, will it make a difference in the kingdom of heaven?
No.
Nope. Sure won't. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this earth are two different things. Now, I'm supposed to be seeking first the what?
Kingdom.
Of what?
Heaven.
Yeah. Right. Now, this physical thing that we're sucked up in here right now, there is a realness in the kingdom of heaven that outshines the realness of this world. There is a realness in the promises of God, a more sure foundation we have in the kingdom than the foundation that you're standing on right now. You think this world's going to last forever? Meh. You're right. The ones who said no, you're right. If you're all concerned about climate change, anybody real? I'm concerned the world's going to die because the climate's changing. Well, that's not. There's going to be a time that it's wild. And several places in the Word of God, God says, I'm going to roll the heavens back as a scroll. I'm just going to roll the stars, everything you see in the sky you think is cool. Oh, look at that Big Dipper. God's going to roll it up like a wad of paper. You're going to roll it up one day and roll it to the side. The very elements of this earth are going to melt with a fervent heat. In the new kingdom that comes down, the new kingdom that comes, there's going to be no more sea, no oceans. Imagine, can you imagine the world without an ocean? God says it's not going to have any ocean. How about no mountains? No mountains to climb. Flatter, not of the disc, but I mean no hills, all right? He says all the mountains are going to be brought low. The seas are going to be dried up. The stars are going to be rolled back like a scroll. When we get to the kingdom, when we get to the real kingdom, the kingdom of God, you ain't going to have a need of the sun or the moon. Because the glory of God is going to illuminate you there. Perfect temperature. Who here would like to be in a perfect temperature? I mean, it's not hot, it's not cold, you ain't sweating, you ain't freezing. You're just comfy. You're comfy all the time. I can get rid of my electric blanket. Woohoo! My wife would say. Because I don't like the cold. I do not like the cold. There's nothing good about being cold to me. Some folks like it, I don't. I would much rather sweat. Give me sweat any day over freezing. Because I can always cool off. Sometimes I cannot get warm. Right? It's because I'm old. I'm decrepit. All right? This body is dying. But I have a promise from God. I have a kingdom that's coming. Right? I have something that's on the way that's going to be better than all these things wrapped up together. And in this psalm right here, he says we're supposed to be talking about the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God, the goodness of God, all those things. That's what we're supposed to be declaring. The saints of the Most High God are supposed to be declaring that when? Right now. Excuse me. Right now. I forgot. I thought I was a little south from here. I'll be doing it right now. Right now is when you do it. And so anyhow, right now. Now, but what does this kingdom, what is this kingdom really about? Paul wrote about it, and I love Paul's writings. They're so marvelous in the book of Romans, chapter 14 and verse 17. And he says this, that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Are you not happy about that? I am so happy that the kingdom of God is about nothing that I eat, it's about nothing I wear, it's about nothing that I drink. It's not about this physical realm that we live in. The kingdom of God is not meat or and drink, but it's of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Woo! Praise God! Did you hear what he's talking about there? There's a kingdom of God, and it's about righteousness. You want to make sure you get to the kingdom of God, you've got to put on righteousness. Right? And some folks are saying, well, what do you mean? I think I'm right enough. Well, I want you to know, if you're trying righteousness in your own strength, you ain't good enough. Even the writer of Romans, Paul the Apostle, said, my righteousness is like filthy rags. He took that from Isaiah. Isaiah said his righteousness was like filthy rags. As good as I can do, and let's say for some reason, somehow, I never told a lie, I never stole, I never drank, I never smoked, I never had sex outside of marriage, I never did none of that stuff, and my life was as righteous, as pretty, as shining as it could possibly be on this earth. Right? And you still, when you compare your righteousness to that of the righteous one, you're like filthy rags. But we need a covering. The big churchy word is called propitiation. And Jesus is our covering. It's his righteousness that will be in the kingdom, not my own. Amen? Because my righteousness, as good as I can get, does not compare to the righteousness that's going to come. I need Jesus on me. I need to be inside of him. I need to be part of him. I need his goodness to be shining through me. Right? Because it's not about me. I cannot be good enough. Dean, maybe. No, Dean, no way. Amen. Right? We can't be. There's none of us are good enough to stand before God. Not in our own strength. But in the kingdom of God, there's righteousness. It's full righteous. So how could this worm that's standing before you, and the worm that you are, the dirty, corrupt sinner that is you, that is me, that is the human race, that is everything in this world, how can it even understand the kingdom? Well, we need righteousness. Where do I get righteousness from? Jesus. Jesus is my righteousness. I surrender my life, my ungodliness. I lay it down before the Lord God, and I say, cleanse me, make me righteous. And he says, I see you in the middle of your corruption, and I love you while you're yet a sinner. I died for you, and I will raise you up. Amen. I will raise you up. I will cover you with my righteousness because you stink. Amen? Not you, I'm part of you. We stink. But God says, I got a kingdom for you, and it's full of righteousness. Oh, in that kingdom, there's going to be no hatred. There's going to be no wars. There's going to be no nastiness. No one's going to kill each other. All right? Now, there's a 1,000-year kingdom that's going to come on this earth. That's the kingdom of Christ on this earth. And what is Isaiah 65? Let's see if I'm right. Isaiah 65. Oh, I'm going the wrong way.
Oh, your Bible.
I zipped right by it. Come on, fingers, get working. Isaiah. New heaven and new earth. All right. Isaiah 65, verse 17. Are you there? Say amen when you get there. All right, we're talking about the newness of the kingdom, amen? This is what it's going to look like. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. Well, I want to let you say amen about that. Who here would like to forget all this mess in this world?
Amen.
I do not want to remember this garbage that's going on right now. I don't want to remember heroin addiction. I don't want to remember alcohol addiction. I don't want to remember the sexual sin I was ever involved in. I don't want to remember none of this garbage, the pollutions of this world. I don't want to remember none of it. And I got a promise from God, in the new heaven and new earth, I ain't got to remember none of it. Like it was never here.
Amen.
Praise God for that. A new heavens and a new, and the former things will not even come to mind. Verse 18. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I created. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Wouldn't you like to be a place where nobody snot sniveled and whining no more? No more crying, no more tears, no more heartbreak. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
You want some of that? Well, that's in the physical kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's coming. Verse 20. And there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days from child shall be 100 years old. And then think about that. When I'm 100, I feel pretty decrepit. I've seen some 100-year-old people. All right? They don't look real healthy to me. Here the Bible says when you're 100, even from an infancy to 100, you're still going to be spry. I can't wait for that. I'm only 57 years old, and parts of me don't work no more. Amen? Anybody, and I know there's older people, there's a lot that ain't working on you. You're old, right? But and you back here, you're old, there's a lot of stuff that won't work on you. And when I was young, when I was 18 years old, my goodness, I really thought this. It wasn't true, but I believed it. If I could find a gopher hole that was deep enough and a fence post that was strong enough, I could stick that fence post in that gopher hole and I'd stop the world from turning. I thought I had it, baby. I thought there was nothing I could not do. There wasn't a piece of carpet I could not pick up. Blew my back out trying to prove it several times. But I thought when I was 18, I could do it. I'm over 50 now, almost 60. Just come to the idea, I cannot. It took me a long time. But there's coming a time that when I'm 100 years old, that I'm still going to be considered a young, spry guy. Amen? I can't wait for that time. Verse 21, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof, of them, and they shall not build another habitation. They shall not plant another and another eat in the days of a tree, and the days of my people and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessing of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Now he's talking about Israel here, no doubt. And they shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass, before I call, I will answer, and while they yet speak, I will hear. Here's where I was getting to. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. How often do you see wolves and lambs eating at the same time? I'll see a wolf eating a lamb every once in a while. I watch National Geographic. I've seen a grizzly bear tearing an elk, you know. They're meat. They're like meat. They're carnivores. I eat meat. I kill stuff and eat it. But anyhow, a wolf and a lamb, though, they'll feed together. And the lion shall eat straw like a bullock. Now, wait a second. A lion that goes out on the savannah and chases down a gazelle, rips its throat out, and eats it raw. Right? He's saying that they're going to be eaten like an ox. Ox doesn't do that. What's an ox eat? Grass.
Yeah.
So there's going to come a time that the wild beasts that eat meat are going to eat their... Oh my goodness, vegetarians. I'm sorry. I don't know. I might not like this as much as I thought I would. I like meat. I don't know. Anyhow, but there's coming a time that all those things are going to pass. And the dust shall be serpent's meat. All right? The serpent, they're not going to eat meat anymore. They're going to just eat dirt like they ought to. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, saith the Lord. There's coming a time that people are going to live a lot longer than they do, that all of the wild animals are going to stop killing other wild animals to eat them. It tells us, I thought in this it was going to tell me that a child is going to play on the hole of an asp, of a crocodile, not a crocodile, but a cobra's den. There's coming a time there's going to be so much peace on the earth, in the kingdom, that a child, a little baby child, you can let her outside or him outside and stick its hand inside of a rattlesnake den. Rattlesnake ain't going to bite him. Anybody here ever hunt rattlesnakes or mess with them much? I used to hunt rattlesnakes for the rattlesnake rodeo. Paid me by the foot, dollar foot. So more rattlesnakes you caught, the more feet you brought in, the more money you can make. Right? So I did that when I was young. Thought I could stop the world with a fence post and a gopher hole. Right? I thought I was pretty much invincible. But those snakes would bite you. They wanted to bite you. Their heart's desire was that you got in their way, they would chew you, bite you, they'd kill you. There's coming a day where the children, little bitty babies, will be able to stick their hand inside of a cobra's nest and not be bit. That's kind of crazy to think. There's going to be true peace. In the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, there'll be true peace. Who wants some of that? Amen? So there's the righteousness of God that comes through Jesus Christ. When this kingdom comes, the wolf and the lamb are going to lay down together. They're going to eat the same food. The bear's not going to kill any more elks. And I guess we're going to be eating vegetables like it was in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they ate vegetables. In fact, they didn't eat meat regularly or at all, as far as I can tell or see, until after Noah got off the boat, right? Noah got off the boat, and he said, at this point, y'all can have meat to eat. So up until Noah got off the boat, everybody was a vegetarian. But the food line was a lot purer than what it is now. We hadn't started changing the GMOs of the wheat and the corn and stuff like that back then. But anyhow, I'm chasing a rabbit there. Stay with me. We'll get back on course. There is a kingdom. Right? And that kingdom is in righteousness, and in that kingdom there will be real peace. There'll be no more wars. When Jesus comes down for 1,000 years, what he does in the beginning of that 1,000 years is Satan gets locked up. Satan, the deceptor, the deceiver of the brethren, is put away for 1,000 years. And so during that 1,000-year reign of Christ, how much peace is going to be on the earth? It's going to be pretty neat. It's going to be pretty neat. We're not going to study war no more for 1,000 years. Glory to God for that. But just to show how fickle men are in our minds and stuff, after the 1,000 years, Jesus released Satan, and immediately he gathers up a band of the world to come against Israel, and there'll be a great war then at that time, just one. And it's going to end up pretty quick. All right, because Jesus is going to come down at that time, and it says that he's going to destroy the enemies with the sword out of his mouth. So how's he going to do that? I don't know. I think he's going to come down. He's probably going to say something like, drop dead. All right, and when they drop dead, they're going to bust open like grapes. They're just going to bust into grapes, because it says the blood's going to go up to a horse's bridle and for 100 furlongs long. And it's going to fill up the Valley of Megiddo. So I don't know how all that's going to happen. I know that it's going to happen. And then after that, the true kingdom of God, the New Jerusalem, comes out of heaven. Right? And that New Jerusalem's 1,500 miles square. 1,500 miles square. Cubed. That'd be a better way to put it. And so in that's the difference between the physical, the spiritual, and the real kingdom. But in that, there will be peace, there will be righteousness, oh, and the joy. Now, we have some joy just thinking about Jesus, right? Do you get happy when you think about Jesus, what he did through the Holy Ghost? Now, what kind of joy are you going to have when you see him? Amen. Isn't that going to be a little bit more joyful? Now, I can get excited right here. I can get some jumping up and down, shouting, feeling good, you know, about some stuff. And that's just imagining seeing him. Someday off, I'm going to see him. But one day, there's coming a day when I shall see Jesus Christ in his kingdom, in all of his glory. I'm going to see him because I have accepted his righteousness in my life. I'm living in his peace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, John 14. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, said Jesus. I go to prepare you a place, and if I go to prepare you a place, I'll come again, that you might be with me. And then he says, my peace, the peace of Jesus Christ, I'm going to give it to you. The peace of God, you can have it. Not as the world gives it do I give it to you, but I'm going to give it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's a peace that's in this world that is less fighting, right? But is there real peace in that, just because you're not fighting as much? How about real peace? I mean, in the midst of the storm, peace. Peace that goes beyond understanding peace. That kind of peace. Jesus says, I want to give that to you right now. You know that you can have it. Who here feels like they're tormented by stuff? Things ain't going my way. Man. It ain't going, and it's stirring me up on the inside. Wham, right? Well, why? It's because you have not relaxed inside of the peace of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about tomorrow, right? How many folks get so worried about tomorrow that you got to take mind-altering drugs? All right? I'm so worried about tomorrow. I got to take Zoloft, Zomax, Zuma, whatever kind of Prozac or whatever. I got to take some mind-splitting stuff. Right? Because I'm so worried about tomorrow. Jesus said, stop it. Stop. Tomorrow's got enough worries for itself. Worry about today. Okay? What are you doing in Christ today? Are you telling other people about the kingdom today? Are you kingdom-minded right now today? Or are you so consumed with the things of this world that you can't even see the kingdom? Don't worry about the clothes you're going to wear, the food you're going to eat. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. Because even in Solomon and all of his glory isn't able to be compared to the smallest of the flowers. They're much more beautiful than he would ever be. Today they grow, tomorrow they're thrown into the burn bin. Don't you think God cares more about you than he does for all that stuff? He does. You are created in the image and the likeness of the Most High God. And he's preparing for you a kingdom. Do you have that mindset? Second page of notes. I got four. Oh my goodness. Let me ask you this. Are you ashamed of the gospel of the kingdom of God? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? See, when you're not ashamed of the kingdom and you're not ashamed of the gospel, inside of that gospel, there's some power there. Amen? It's the power of salvation. To the Jews first, but also to the Gentiles. That there's power, there's explosive power in the knowledge of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's Romans 1, 16 through 18. For Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and then also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. God's righteousness is opened up from one faith to the next faith. The just are going to live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So that righteousness that is part of the kingdom comes through the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Again, I'm going to ask you, do you want... Oh, man, is that late? I'm sorry. Sort of. No, I am. I'm going to shut it up real quick. Because I love you, and I want you to come back next week for the rest of the story. Amen? I want to, if you were to glean anything out of this I've said to you today, know this. There is a real kingdom of God. And in that real kingdom of God is true righteousness. Right? Is real righteousness there. All right? There's real peace there. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that only comes from the kingdom. You want a piece of that peace? I don't want a piece of it. I want the whole thing. I want all of it. I want all of that righteousness. I want all of that goodness. I want everything that he has for me. Right? I want it to be so real in my life that the joy in the Holy Ghost just flows out of us. Are you happy? Are you joyful? Are you content in the knowledge that there's a kingdom? Because if you start wrapping your mind around that right here in the physical and right now, you won't feel so out of place when you get there in the spiritual, right? But if you don't want to wrap yourself in the peace and the joy and the righteousness of God here, then you're going to feel so out of place in the real kingdom, right? So prepare your hearts today for that righteousness. Hear the word of the Lord. Know this for sure, for absolutely positive, there is a kingdom, all right? And it's much better than any empire that has ever come on this earth. All the empires of this earth only last for about 350 years. The rise and fall of empires. And I got that here in my notes at a later time. Because it's quarter after. If I get into that, you're going to be here until a quarter after again. I love you guys. I want you to know about this kingdom of God. I want you to know it, that is real, that is personal, and it's available. The only thing between you and that is what you believe who Jesus is. Because through your faith, you've been saved by the grace of God through faith. And you are saved here and now for the presence of the Most High God in the kingdom of God. That's why he set you apart. Now, while you're here on this earth, on this planet, there's things we need to do. Love folks. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And then love your neighbor like you love yourself. And nobody's ever hated his own self. Again, another sermon. There's so much to say about this kingdom. And I have so little time to tell you. So open your Bibles. Read it for yourself. Anybody here doesn't own a Bible? If you don't own a Bible, I will fix that before you leave the door. Right? And if you need to know where to find the kingdom scriptures and stuff like that, ask me and I will show you where they're at. Then you ain't ignorant. Alright? Or most of you ain't ignorant. Some of you ain't ignorant. Maybe one of you ain't ignorant. Anyhow, you don't have to be ignorant about this kingdom. Because it's all written. All you got to do is read it, believe it, and apply it. Read it and apply it, and if you apply it, you will believe it. Amen? Amen. Right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I love you. Lord God, I pray even now for this group of people that are here, your people, Father, that you have spoke to them. Maybe you create, Father, that you would create that hunger, that thirst, Lord Jesus, for the kingdom in them. Lord, illuminate our eyes that we might see it. Open our eyes that we could see the surrounding of the spiritual world that's here with us, Lord God. Help us to know, to know you in the power of your might. Oh, God. Father, please move in your church, in your body, in the ecclesia. Draw us together, knit us together. Be united in the physical for the spiritual. Lord, and we thank you for those things. In Jesus' high and mighty name. Amen.
Amen.